Good morning. We do have a treat this morning. We have four baptisms, and we praise the Lord for that privilege. We ask that you be prayerful as we observe this ordinance at this time. Our first candidate will be Catherine Crenshaw. Catherine, have you trusted Jesus as your Savior?
Yes, sir.
And what is your testimony?
I trust in the Lord with all my heart, and I want to get baptized under His holy name.
All right. Marvelous. Catherine, because you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and it's your desire to follow Him in baptism, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our next candidate will be Henry Crenshaw. Henry, have you trusted Christ as your Savior?
Yes, sir.
What is your testimony?
I've trusted Jesus for a long time. He's been my Savior, and I want to show it through baptism.
All right. Praise the Lord. Henry, because you have trusted Christ, and it's your desire now to follow Him in this obedience of baptism, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now Malachi Bonneau. Have you trusted Christ as your Lord?
Yes.
What is your testimony?
I have accepted the Lord's Savior into my heart.
Okay, you've trusted the Savior into your heart. Malachi, because you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and it's your desire to follow Him in this obedience of baptism, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now Cutter Crenshaw will come down. Cutter, have you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
And what is your testimony?
The Lord has taught me lessons through the good and bad times, and He has stuck with me through it all, and I want to show my loyalty to Him.
All right. Praise the Lord. Cutter, because you have trusted Christ, and it's your desire now to follow Him in this obedience of baptism, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes. Allow me to pray with you this morning. Our Father and our God, we thank you for every opportunity to be in your house to worship you, and especially on a day like today where we can celebrate salvation through this beautiful illustration of baptism, being dying into Christ Jesus, our old man going away and being buried, and the new man coming to newness in life through Christ Jesus and the life that He bears. Father God, may You indwell these new believers and fill them with Your truth, Lord God, to use them as instruments in Your kingdom's work. Help their parents, Father, to be mindful of their responsibility to help raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and our responsibility as a church, Lord God, to help them to grow into the image of Jesus at every opportunity. Lord God, thank you for such a privilege and stewardship. Help us to be faithful, that you might be exalted. Now fill our hearts with your presence this morning. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. God bless.
Good morning. You certainly cannot start a worship service any better than what we just witnessed here. So that was amazing, and prayer be to God for that. If you're a guest today, we'd like to ask you inside your program with a perforated portion there, if you would fill that out and drop it in the offering plate, we'd love to have a regular of your visit and hopefully get to know you a lot better than that. So if you're a visitor, please take care of that. A couple announcements here. Children's choir tonight is at 5:30. And also, the service tonight in here at 5:30 will be a video called Back to Genesis, 4 Biological Facts the Bible Got Absolutely Right. So we hope you can join us for that. I believe it's about a 44-minute video or so. So that'll be tonight at at 5:30. Also, next Sunday night on the 29th, we're having our fifth Sunday singing. So if you have a favorite hymn or if you want to sing a song, there is a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center. Please fill that out today. Well, that'll be going through, obviously, to the end of the next service next Sunday. And then we'll be taking care of the singing that night. And follow the singing, we have a fellowship to celebrate the retirement of Betty Lynch. So hopefully come out and join in that, have some snacks, and also have a time to speak with Betty. Okay, senior adult luncheon on February 14th. There's a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center. Also, Upward Basketball is still looking for volunteers to do a devotional during the halftime. Please call the church office if you'd like to sign up. They do provide the materials for you to use during those devotionals. So if you're interested in that, please contact the church office. And please check your bulletin for any other information that we have. At this time, our deacon prayer will be done by Brother Buzzy Whitley.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for the beginning of this service with baptism and welcome new souls into the kingdom. We praise you, Lord, for our Sunday school, all our ministries, for the Upward Basketball that started yesterday. What a wonderful crowd and great numbers. And just pray that you would bless this ministry throughout our entire community as well as our own members. Again, we thank you for the opportunity to be here to worship this morning. We just ask that you bless the message, that it might be inspiration to all. We just thank you again for everything that you've done for us. We thank you for this church. We just pray that you would continue to bless it and to reach lost souls. Again, we thank you for all. We ask that you forgive us, Lord, for all the ways we fail. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, if you would still, if you'd stand and sing with me, please. The reason why we're here today, we have come into his house, gathered in his name to worship him. Would you sing with us, please? Worship Christ the Lord, because he is the God of grace and the God of glory. That'll be our next hymn today.
Bring her blood to glorious.
And in picking this next hymn right for the offertory, thinking about the baptism today, I couldn't help but think about how great our God is to provide a way for us to have redemption through our sins by sending his son that we just celebrated his birth on Christmas, and as we approach Easter, his death and resurrection, so we may have everlasting life. So I couldn't help but think how great thou art. So that's what we're going to be singing next, how great thou art. Excuse me.
How great thou art.
Dear kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come to thy house and worship thee. Ask that you be with each and every one here, that we will prepare our hearts to receive the message that Brother Robert has for us. Ask that you be with the leaders of our nation and if there's anyone here who needs to make a decision today, be the day. I ask you to be with this offering you use for the honor and glory. I ask you to go with us and guide us and forgive us where we fail you. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Houston, choir, Sheila, Dan, the Lord. You're always afraid you'll leave somebody out, and usually we leave him out, don't we? This week, as we resume our series on preparing for worship, we will be in Psalm 123, the next psalm in the order of the scripture. It's simply four verses long, but we'll be addressing submission to the Lord in our worship, preparing to submit ourselves to the Lord. And that submission should really be predicated on the reality of his trustworthy mercy. We'll find indication of that in the scripture as well. There's no doubt that oftentimes believers come to the worship setting surrounded by circumstances beyond their control. That is the reality of living in a sin-tainted, corrupted world, where even innocent people will be impacted by the effects of the sins of others. And I use that term innocent in a general term, but listen, none of us is innocent before God, but there are times when you have been minding your own business and walking with the Lord when something has happened that has impacted you. And so that's what we mean by that term. But there are also times when the reality is that you, even as a believer, have brought the weight of conviction on yourself through some act of disobedience, whether it be a sin of commission, something that you've done you knew you shouldn't have done, or a sin of omission, something you didn't do you knew you should have done, or even through a secret sin that didn't impact anybody else except you before the Lord. And there are times when we come before our God in worship and we are impacted by that reality as well. And that brings us to the place where the believer must come confessing. And that word confess means to agree with, and to confess to God, agree with God that my life has not been perfect or I have failed in this particular area, and I bring it before you acknowledging that I have not walked faithfully and I want to be right. John the Apostle in his first epistle gives us that freedom. He says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of that sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the justice comes in that Christ Jesus, as a believer, Christ Jesus paid for your sin. And so you are justified before God because of the sacrifice of Christ upon your life. And he is just to forgive you of that sin because Christ paid the penalty. That's why we're so grateful for our salvation. It is an eternal salvation that it impacts all of our walk with him from the moment we know him till the time we come face to face with him into eternity. But we always must come to him in worship with a heart willingly yielded to the reality, the fact that he is the Lord. The Bible explains him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is our highest authority. You might have an authority over you in the home. You might have an authority over you in your work, an authority over you in the state or in the land. But there's one authority over all universally, and it is the Lord God, Father, Son, Spirit, the Trinity God, who rules all things. And a believer should be yielded to his lordship and obedient as best he can as he follows the leading of the Holy Spirit and the truth of Scripture. So this morning, this instruction in this Song of Ascents, Psalm 123, will hopefully provide for us some encouragement and instruction so that we might be submitted to the Lord when we approach him in worship. So stand with me at this time as we read this brief psalm, Psalm 123, verses 1 to 4. The psalmist writes, To you I lift up my eyes, you who are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he should be gracious to us. The New King James Version study Bible in my office says, till he should be merciful to us. Be gracious or merciful to us, O Lord, be gracious or merciful to us, for we are greatly filled with contempt. Our soul is greatly filled with the scoffing of those who are at ease, with the contempt of the proud. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for allowing us to be in your presence today and for you being in our midst. According to your promise, where two or more are gathered, you will be with us. And Father, we ask for your wisdom. We ask for an outpouring of your Spirit in our individual hearts. I pray that for each one here today, Father, that we would comprehend and understand this psalm as we think about preparing ourselves not only for worship but for everyday living before you. Lord God, may you be exalted this morning. We pray that in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 1, the first obvious thing I saw when I looked at this passage was the declaration of the psalmist when he said, "To you I lift up my eyes, you're enthroned in the heavens." First off, this is a prayer of the psalmist. It is a commitment prayer. Remember, these are songs of ascent. As the pilgrim is approaching the place of worship there in Jerusalem, that to go into the temple area where they're allowed to go in and to worship before God, that place where the Ark of the Covenant is in the Holy of Holies, in that deep place of the temple, you come ready to commit yourself to Him. And you acknowledge that you have to go up. Remember, topographically, geographically, the land of Israel is a sea level place, and then it gets higher as you go to Jerusalem. It is a elevation higher than sea level, 2,700 feet, I believe it is, the city of Jerusalem. And one day God's going to orchestrate all things through earthquakes and the tribulation of the world to raise up Jerusalem as the highest place in the world so that during the millennial kingdom, Christ will rule from there and all nations will have to come up to Him. So the literal idea of coming up to Him is in view here. The pilgrim thinks of going up to the Lord as he goes to the temple. But he mentions something different here. Not only does he go up to the sanctuary that's been built by the hands of men, he mentions, "O you who are enthroned in the heavens." He is looking beyond that first psalm that we looked at where he looked to the hills. Remember, he says, "O Lord, I look to the hills as I worship you," in Psalm 121. That's where the holy city was found. And then progressively in Psalm 122, as he gazed from the entry gate of the city and maybe caught a glimpse of the tabernacle that held that Ark of the Covenant, the representation of the presence of God. Well, here the psalmist is claiming to look beyond the near and the temporary to see that which is far away and which is eternal. That place is beyond what we can see with our eyes and what we can sense with our human senses. And being made in the image of God and able to communicate with Him by our spirit through His spirit, now we have an elevated place to meet with God. And here the psalmist is acknowledging that. "O Lord, I lift up my eyes to you who are enthroned in the heavens, to you who reigns above mankind, and you rule from that place." Someone who lifts up the eyes is representing the state of their heart, giving an indication of that which fixes its desire and hope and confidence and expectation upon the one that's beyond themselves. The scriptures remind the worshiper, the Lord's high and lifted up. Remember that incident where Isaiah's in the temple or has a vision of being in the temple. He sees the Lord high and lifted up. He sees his glory filling the whole temple. His train of his robe is everywhere, and there's brightness and there's splendor, and he's overwhelmed by this glory of the Lord, and he sees him as high, higher than he is. It's really a view that we should have of our God. He is above us. Even though he dwells with us, he is a God who rules from the highest place. And now we find him exalted by the worship of this psalmist, and we too should be doing the very same thing. Scripture also reminds us, another place, that God made man lower than the angels. I hear people, and the sentiment is sincere. When someone dies, a Christian dies, oh, another heaven. Heaven has another angel. They got their wings. It's not how it happens. You and I don't become angels. We're made lower than the angels. In fact, we have sinned. You know that angels that have sinned, there's no redemption or hope for them. The scripture tells us that those angels who followed the leadership of the most beautiful angel called Lucifer, when they followed his leadership, a third of the angels followed after him, they fell from that glory, never to be restored. They are committed to the abyss. the lake of fire and brimstone for all eternity because of their rebellion against God and their pride lifted themselves up along with Lucifer. But all the other angels, all these angels created by God, these angels, the other angels are messengers of God. They obey God. They serve God. They serve man as the Lord directs. If you want a clearer view of angels, look to Hebrews chapter 1 and 2 as the writer of Hebrews begins that representation, that information about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, God who spoke long ago in the fathers, to the fathers and the prophets in many portions, many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, that he appointed heir of all things, and through him he made the world. And this one's the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature. He upholds all things by the words of his power. He's made purification of sins. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on God, having become as better than the angels, as he's inherited a more excellent name than they. And to which of the angels did he ever say, you're my son, today I've begotten you, or I will be a father to you, and you a son to me? He never said that to an angel, only to Christ. Listen, you and I are made lower than the angels. To experience redemption is a special thing. To be saved, to have our sins cleansed so that we are made right and holy before a holy God is a big deal. We must acknowledge in our worship of the Lord God that even though we were made lower than the angels and we fell in sin, God has made the way of salvation by the sacrifice of Christ and through his resurrection that we might be elevated to a place of favor with God and yet maintain a humble position as mankind. There's a beautiful balance in that. We are to be humble for God, and in that worship him, and in doing so, we must look up and reach up from our lowly place to him who rules from the most holy realm of heaven, an unseen realm, where there's a king on his throne, the king above all other kings, and the Lord of lords. It is good for us to remember, even as a perspective, as a child of God, that God affirms through the witness of the Holy Spirit with our spirits that you're his child. Romans 8:16 tells us that truth. We're his children. No child is above their parent. No child is above their authoritative guardian. The guardian is the authority. Our Father is the authority. And as such, we look up to worship him. We should not look to any other helper on any equal level with ourselves. We can have counselors. We can look to wisdom, to those who know Scripture and who are closely related to the Lord God. It's wise to look beyond mankind to the Creator and the Sustainer of mankind for any help that we might need. The higher the Lord, the better regarding our faith. His height represents power, his glory, his excellence. Things that we cannot attain to without his help. But we will if we yield to him. And note that he gives us understanding as we come to know him. He grants us understanding, a discerning spirit, so that we might be able to discern the things that are spiritual and true and not to yield on the things that are just merely earthly wisdom. And in that, the believer has a view of the one who resides in glory, not be satisfied or duped by any limited potential of processors or counterfeits of earthly wisdom. Note here, there are two illustrations that are shown in verse 2 of how a believer ought to exercise their submission, attentiveness to the Lord as master. And many people don't like that comparison that we are slaves. That's what we are. Paul puts it this way, we're no longer slaves to sin, now we're slaves to righteousness. That's a positive connotation. If you're overly sensitive to that, get over it. Really. The Lord is higher than us. He's your authority. He's the one, listen, you will not find a master so kind and so good who administers love and grace to you, even when you don't deserve it. There is no greater master who makes sure that your needs are met. And even when it seems like you're about to fall off the end of the earth, he meets those just in the nick of time. No greater master. You'll not find one on earth. You'll not find one in your grandmother. You'll not find one anywhere besides heaven. But the Father who's exalted and in the highest place and has made himself known to man. And here in this picture, the psalmist says, behold, look at this. Notice, as the eyes of the servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of their mistress, so our eyes should look to the Lord our God. I noted here, one commentary pointed out that in ancient times, the Orientals, when they had slaves or servants in their home, and the Orientals, as Easterners, they're much different than us Westernized people. We talk a lot. The Orientals didn't talk until they needed to. But most of their direction and instruction was by a wave of a hand, a gesture. This is how the Orientals talked. And this is the picture we're looking at. That an Oriental, when he looked to a slave and he needed something, he made a certain gesture. And the Oriental servant would look to the hand of the master and follow that leading, know which sign the master's giving so that I do the right thing, attentive to the hand of the master. This is a picture we're getting. Same with the maid. One commentator said that a woman who would be a mistress and have a maid. I want to be careful how I say this. Eastern women, more thorough than men, let's put it that way. In the training of their personal servants, they were known to issue more commands, especially sensitive to any hint of disobedience. And so those maids would be sure to give attention to their mistress as she gave direction, and perhaps with her hand in instruction as she spoke. They would be faithful to watch closely and then to obey. As believers, we should be attentive to every direction that the Lord gives to us. And those not so attentive to the Lord's hand may even scoff at those who pay that kind of attention, but genuine believers will heed the warnings of the Lord and the instruction of the Lord in every arena of life, especially in our words. You know, a lot of instruction we give is with our mouths. A lot of the communication we make is with our mouths. Oh, there's body language, there's facial expressions, but our words can say a lot. Remember reading this past week, Jesus said, with our words, idle words even, we are justified or we are condemned. We can do great things with words or we can do great damage with words. And what we find here is that we should have a reliance looking at the Father. And by the prompting of the Spirit he's placed within you as a believer, and through the instruction of the Scripture, you're giving attention to the hand of God. You're watching him. We often think, look at the circumstances around me and dictate that. Well, you will have some indication in those instances, but be very, very careful. That's where you're finding your information. The information you'll have is from the Spirit who moves you and the Word of God. Be attentive to his hand. I remember Charles Spurgeon saying, when you can't see the hand of God, trust his heart. You want to know what God's heart is? Read his word. You'll find out what his heart is, what his direction, his will, his desire. And then you will know. When he moves in that moment, you will have seen the hand of God and you will have responded accordingly. Just like the eyes of a servant who looks to the hand of the master, or the eyes of the maid to the hand of the mistress. The instruction is for believers, look to the Lord our God, and do so until he be gracious to us. even merciful. Well, I think that as we grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we acknowledge more and more as we grow the kind of blessings that we have already experienced in Him. Think of your salvation. Think of being filled with the Spirit of God, sealed by that Spirit. Not only sealed by the Spirit, but then gifted, endowed with an ability to be able to serve Him by serving the church and others. What a great blessing. What a merciful thing to take a vessel that had been corrupt and ruined and filthy before, but cleansed by the blood of Christ and now made in such a fashion that it can serve this high and holy God in a way that pleases Him and brings honor to His name. There's no greater grace or mercy for us. Evidences of His grace for the believer are found in every arena of life if we will be attentive. Mercy. I think of God's mercy in holding back what we deserve, His grace in giving us what we don't deserve, and how those two work together in the lives of believers and taken care of by Christ's sacrifice. What a gift. Psalm 103. It's another work in the Scripture. Psalm of David. First five verses are this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget none of His benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with loving kindness, mercy, and compassion. Satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Basic mercies of God. If we keep our eyes open, we will be reminded of these marvelous mercies of God that bless our life. And as you're attentive to Him, you'll see them more clearly, and you will celebrate them as you see them as well. Until He shall be gracious, till He shall be merciful to us. What is going to be the greatest, most gracious thing God could do? One day, to bring you out of this world into His presence. Christ put it this way, there are many dwelling places or mansions in my Father's house. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. And when I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a gracious gift that God would send His Son to come down here, offer Himself up as a sacrifice, and then go and do some more carpenter work for eternity. Prepare a place for us to dwell for all of eternity. What a gracious gift. And then mercifully to keep us from what we do deserve, being separated from Him because of our sin. But He's covered over that. And in His mercy, He keeps from us what we earned long time ago. It's been taken care of. Until all of that will be accomplished one day, and what a joy it will be for every believer. But until then, we should be reminded and we should be attentive to the Father's hand and that which He has granted us through the Son and by the Spirit and the truth of His Word. Notice here, He goes on in verse 3, be gracious to us, be merciful to us also. Be gracious to us, for we are greatly filled with contempt. Now, when you get to verse 4, I think we can jump ahead for just a moment. Our souls filled with the scoffing of those who are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. Doesn't it bother you when a wicked, mean person gets the advantage or looks like they're having a great time of it? And maybe you're not. Irks me. I mean, honestly. The psalmist, there are many of these psalms that say just that. Lord, how long will the wicked prosper? How long will it be before You come and vindicate Your good name and raise me up? I've trusted You as an upright person. When will I see some fruit of this trust in You? Here we find the psalmist in verse 3 says, I have a little contempt. I don't like that. Lord God, be gracious and merciful to us because we are often filled with contempt. Perhaps sometimes against the blessings of the Lord, maybe without even knowing it. Something happens and we, God, why'd you let that happen, when in reality, God is working something else out. And you have to be patient and watch as God works out his purposes in your midst, even through difficulty. But we jump the gun, get impatient. Lord, why is this happening? He's so gracious. He's merciful. He says, listen, child, you'll see it soon. And then eventually he does. And we're like, oh, Lord, forgive me for that. God, what an attitude. I had contempt. Lord, be merciful to me. And at the same time, in verse 4, our soul is greatly filled. We are surrounded with the scoffing of those who are at ease. For those who care nothing about spirituality, nothing about goodness, they're at ease in the world. They are proud of everything that is wicked. And they have contempt for the holy. And our souls are impacted by that. Remember, the psalmist is coming to worship. He's saying, prepare me for worship. And Lord God, help me to keep my eyes on your hands as you're directing me and instructing me. And not so much on these that are scoffing and seem to be doing well when they don't even care about you. I don't know about you. That's a challenge for this pastor. Yesterday's first day of Upward. Wonderful thing to see all those kids and those parents and guardians coming in, supporting the children. But you know what? There were some kids out in the yard that weren't really connected with all of that. And there was some cursing and there was some fighting and there was some things that weren't good happening on the lawn. The pastor who's standing in your pulpit today had some contempt. That disregard for what we considered a place of God's working. Oh, Lord, be gracious to me. Have mercy. I pray that we would be transparent. Not just in looking at God, oh, how big and high and mighty God is. But also remembering just how vulnerable and weak we can be. When we're preparing our heart to come to worship, and we need desperately to be seeing the hand of the Father, our Master, rather than looking around at all this other stuff and getting stirred up about that and worshiping our God. I have to have a willing submissiveness to Him. Look, the Lord's not going to legislate His authority over you. As a child of God, He'll put His Holy Spirit in you, and that Holy Spirit will give you a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. And then He'll fill it. As you walk in obedience and you see God and His faithfulness and His great mercy and His grace that He's pouring out upon you each moment, even when you're not worthy of it, you grow in this. And you're more prepared to come before the Lord and to offer to Him worship, to adore Him and to exalt Him, to praise Him and to thank Him, and even sometimes to say, Lord, how long? How long? We should be preparing to meet with our Maker and Redeemer, the one who will finish all things. That's what the writer in Hebrews said, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one who finishes this stuff that we're going through now and we're trying to grasp. How in the world is all this going on? Listen, wait and trust Him and keep watching Him. Keep watching His hand. Keep listening with your spiritual ears as the Spirit's moving in your midst. Give attention to the truth of His Word, because that's where the instruction is, that doesn't change with culture and it doesn't change with time. It's consistent all the way through the ages. Because when Christ comes, He will come riding on a white horse, the Revelation record says, and His tongue will be a sword of truth. And He will execute judgment upon the masses by that word of truth. Keep watching Him. Keep attuning your heart to Him and be willingly submissive to His movements and to His direction in this world. It's going to be hard to do. Psalm 118, it's 29 verses. I'll not read it all, but I will give you a synopsis here. It begins this way: give thanks to the Lord because He's good and His loving kindness is everlasting. That word loving kindness is synonymous and interchangeable with merciful. His mercy is everlasting. Verse 2 says, oh, let Israel say, His loving kindness is everlasting. 3 says, oh, let the house of Aaron say, His loving kindness is everlasting. 4 says, oh, let those who fear the Lord say, His loving kindness is everlasting. This should be something that should be on the heart of every believer. Not just the high priest, not just the nation at large, but you as individuals, you who fear the Lord. Oh, Lord, Your good and Your mercy lasts forever. I don't know about you, I need that word. And he goes through and he talks about history of things that have happened and will happen through the course of that psalm. Verse 10, all nations surrounded me in the name of the Lord, I'll surely cut them off. Lord God, thank You for Your mercy. Verse 15, the sound of joyful shouting and salvations in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Oh Lord, thank You for Your loving kindness. Verse 19, open to me the gates of righteousness, so I enter through them, and I'll give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous enter through it. Oh God, You are good. Thank You. Your mercy is everlasting. And you know how this psalm ends? Verse 29, give thanks to the Lord because His mercy is everlasting. We should keep that on the tip of our tongues as a reminder. God's a faithful God, people. Paul wrote to Timothy, even when we're faithless, He remains faithful because He can't deny Himself. It's His character. It's who He is. That's why we can trust Him. And because you have trusted Him, continue to willingly yield yourself to Him. This one who is a faithful master, who gives us direction and instruction, and He's provided us with everything to enable us to be able to hear Him and to follow Him faithfully. And when we mess up, which we will, we know we have a God who forgives because of what His Son did when He sent Him here to die in our place, to be raised from the dead, and to offer this eternal life by grace through faith in His work. We have a good God. And His mercy is everlasting. And we ought to celebrate that as we prepare to come into worship. Let us come trusting Him. Get your eyes off the stuff of life. When you leave here, be filled with God's truth and face those things. But do it with your eyes on the Lord, the days to come. Listen, I know there might be someone in this place, maybe you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I will tell you this, the Bible tells us that we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the grace of God. My grandmother was a sweet lady, but she was a sinner. The Pope, an exalted man, he's a sinner. Your pastor, a sinner. You, a sinner. The Bible also says the wages of that sin is death, and we all deserve that death. That's why God sent His Son Jesus to come and to face that death for us. He took sin upon Himself that belonged to us. And He paid the price for it in our place so that we could trust Him and serve Him, having the assurance that He has forgiven that sin and has sealed us to a day of being in His presence. And we ought to be preparing ourselves now, watching His hand attentively and following His direction as faithfully as we can and acknowledging His mercy and His grace along the way. If you have not trusted Christ, you have no other hope but to trust Jesus and to experience salvation by what He has provided through Christ and not anything of yourself. I pray that you might trust Him today if you haven't. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we acknowledge that you are God today. We acknowledge, Father, that you have led us through this time of looking at some scriptures. We thank you for the reminder that you have given us a gift through Christ Jesus that enables us to be able to discern your hand and to follow your direction. And Lord God, to not be so focused upon those contentious things in life. Thank you, Father, for such a provision. And for the prospect, too. The hope that's within us that is certain that we will be with you one day in glory. All those who have trusted you, Lord, will be with you one day. I pray for any soul in this place, Father, this morning that does not know you in that special relationship, that you would bring conviction on their heart to the place where they would call upon your name and be forgiven. Lord God, be exalted. Even as we dismiss ourselves from this setting, be exalted. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to have opportunity to respond to this morning's message. The altar will be open. I'll be glad to pray with you. But let's take time to respond. Brother.
I have heard the voice of Jesus calling clearly, follow me. No one could ever promise life eternal and so free. All to thee I give my all.
Gracious God, may that be the prayer of our hearts this morning. We are desiring and willing to yield all to you. That as we depart from this place, gathered with the saints, and become the scattered church, that Lord God, we would find you walking with us and supplying every need, and experiencing your grace and mercy along the way, and always looking to exalt you when you give us the opportunity. Lord God, may you be pleased with our response. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Allow me to present certificates of baptism and Gideon Bibles to those that we baptized this morning. Be seated at this time. Allow these candidates to come out. Malachi Bonneau. Here he is, making his way. Thank you, sir. And then the Crenshaw bunch, Henry Crenshaw and Catherine, and then Cutter Crenshaw. God bless her. All right. Praise the Lord. And again, I remind you, we all, these are children of families that are going to be attentive to their children, but we have the great privilege and honor to be able to invest in them as we have opportunity. So be mindful of that. Our desire is to make sure that we help be a part of the growth of our kids and one another. And so let's be mindful of that. A couple of things. We're going to have a video tonight. It's going to be a creation for Institute for Creation Research put a video together. The president of that institute, I can't pronounce his last name. It's Gualiza or something like that. He's a doctor. He was a former mechanical engineer, and he is the president now, and he will be giving us four biological facts that the Bible got right about creation, and they're all out of chapter one in the very first book of the Bible. It'll be very instructive for you. I pray you come back tonight and watch this video with us. Also, next Sunday morning, we will be passing out ballots. There has been an extension for Houston Cummings to come and be our music director. And so there will be a vote on your part next Sunday morning by ballot. If those results do not come in by the conclusion of the service, we will be announcing that on that Sunday night. We do have a song night and then a fellowship, also a celebration for Betty Lynch. She's retired, and we'll be having a celebration for her that evening. And so those results will be made known as soon as we have those. Also our weekly email. So be attentive to those things. Be mindful and prayerful as we approach that. God bless. I'll see you out in the hallway. Brother Houston, close us out.
Okay, as we close, would you please stand as we sing As We Go?
As we go, may your Spirit go before us. As we go, may we follow where you lead. May we live what we have learned, share the message we have heard, and be a light unto the world as we go.
God bless. We hope to see you again tonight.